down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm well.
Yeah, you sound low, though. Anyhow, I want to look at what I heard Dr. What's his name? The Economist, former obviously Dr. Mascot. The statement he made pertaining to receiving the IMF loan, where he made mention that as long as you could bring the true figures to the IMF, it was easy to receive the loan. And it made me think, if whether or not the former government was playing around with figures and not bringing the true figures to the country. And as a result, they know they had to go to the IMF, the true figures, and that was one of the reasons why they didn't went early. That is my...
But that's speculation on your part.
That's what I tell you. That's what I tell you. But I only referring to the statement that was made by Dr. Masker. Now, let me go further on. And you would remember very well, and this is the issue, there's no opposition, and as you said, we have to be the opposition. We don't have to depend on no the DLP, the NDP, to be opposition. This is a government belongs to the people, and the people must be concerned about what is happening around them. And in that light, I want to draw something to your attention, and by extension to the Minister of the Water Authority, and ended at the Minister of Finance. You could recall I made mention during the period of time when we had the water shortage in St. Joseph. You recall that 2 years ago, where you had to take water into St. Joseph, and some tanks were placed in St. Joseph. My understanding, and you would use the word speculation, and in order to start speculating, we must have evidence or truth. I understand that those water tanks were rented, and after the water shortage, and we resumed getting pump water in St. Joseph, where those tanks were placed, and not being used, I want to know if Water Authority is still paying rent for those tanks. As if so, I would like the Minister of Finance to look into that matter, because every cent counts at this time, and if those tanks are not being used, why should the country be paying, our Water Authority should be paying rent for those tanks that are not in use? That is all I have to say today, David, and I would like you to find out as a journalist, and I would like the Minister of Water Authority to tell us how much money was being paid in rent for those tanks, and if they continue renting those tanks when they are not needed. That is all I have to say for the day, David.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
Very good, you know. Now, there's 2 points I want to raise with you, but I must say something first to you, and I hope you have a good memory, because I want you to do it. At least do it for me. You know that a caller who called this program all the time, I think he's come from somewhere down the St. James area. He's the guy who was speaking to you quite recently concerning corruption and bribes.
Yes, he's always very polite and wishing
right.
You and your family a very good day
right.
And a good weekend and stuff like that.
Right.
You're a strong Democratic Labour Party supporter.
Yeah, you know the man.
He equals you in terms of your support for the Barbados Labour Party.
That's fair enough. But you know the man I'm speaking about. But there's just something you want you to do for me before I get to my 2 points. Because there is a reason to ask if you have a good memory. And I suspect he's going to call you this morning because he'd like to talk to you too. When he come on, David, that's not today, not anytime he's speaking to you, right?
Yes.
I want you to ask him if he is still willing to make some of his pension available to the government. Because the last time when the Democrat Labour Party was in office, when they was going through all the problems, he was the one who was complaining that people in Barbados need to stop complaining, the government going through serious financial problems. and everybody need to do whatever they can to assist. And he said that he is quite willing to sacrifice some of his pension to see the country get out of the problems that they was going
through. Sure he didn't sacrifice it already?
Well, I don't know. That's why he wanted to ask him the question. So ask him if he's still willing now at this point in time to sacrifice some of his pension. Don't forget, I definitely want to hear his reply to you concerning that. Because I remember good, he mentioned that too. He's willing to sacrifice some of his pension. Now, let me get my 2 points. You raised a very good point this morning concerning the problems in Trinidad. And David, to be quite honest with you, if you look at page 7 in yesterday's Daily Nation, you will see what the frustration, the sort of frustration, sorry, can come about because of delays in the court system in this country. And I want you to look at, if you got one in your hand or close by, look at page 7. And you see how this guy, there was an outburst in court yesterday. In fact, the day before, on the yesterday's paper. This guy even lambasted, if I should use that term, the magistrate and the prison officer who he even went over to speak to him concerning his behavior. And there's a whole, I mean, you can see the frustration and anger in that guy because of his case. And the police at that point they could not deliver the files concerning his matter. And when you look at what happened in the court system just got to David, I think it's more than appalling. Because right now, as I speak to you, I think there are 3 murder cases that at the present moment are waiting the last, in fact, they are on the last adjournment. And the next time they appear in court, chances are if the prosecutor ain't ready yet, these 3 persons can be let off. Even though they can be rearrested. But I just draw that to your attention simply because of what you mentioned and what can happen in this country.
Yes, and you know, I was talking with an ex-policeman a few days ago, and he was saying that there was a case where I think a body was found floating when he was a policeman. He said the matter came out 24 years later.
Mm-hmm.
24 years later, in here in Barbados.
Right, I know that.
And he made the point, you know, cases like those, he said long time ago he threw away his documents, his books and that sort of thing that would have kept the information. What kind of evidence can he give now on matters like those?
Right, that's a serious problem that we got as far as the court system in this country is concerned. But just the other day was also in another case whereby they went on file. And one, the file went to about 4 different persons, and one of the persons the file went to is one of the officers who is now deceased. And I mean, it's real complicated. So that case, it seems as though it's in limbo at the present moment.
But the real problem that we are facing here is the degree to which the slowness of the justice system is causing criminal elements in the country to get even bolder.
Exactly.
And to push the envelope even more, to have a situation where you hear all this talk about people need to talk and give information. Why are you going to feel as though you can give information safely when the environment is one that is conducive to people intimidating you? That is the reason why people don't talk. Because they know that a fella, even if a fella commits murder, that in a couple of weeks, that man can be back out on the street and he can be knocking on your door.
Exactly.
You know, that is what part of the reason why we are facing the crisis. And I call it a crisis because of what so many people have experienced in this country in recent times. We expect that the government that has spoken a lot about this in opposition, the party that has done so, will be telling us a bit more about some of the measures that is going to take. But talk is not all that Barbadians are looking for. We are looking for meaningful change. And I don't expect that it can be done just by strong arm tactics alone. But you got to give people a greater sense of confidence to be able to come forward and say, this is what has happened. I mean, we're talking about whistleblower legislation as it relates to corruption and that sort of thing. But you can get as much whistleblower legislation to crack down on people who have taken money. But if you get that and you lose the ability and the capacity for people to be able to speak about serious crimes in this country in a way that will bring the perpetrators to justice, then you've only won a small victory on the one hand, but lost a much bigger one on the other.
Yeah, but David, you know, I won't be surprised. I mean, I hope it will never occur again, but I won't be surprised if we have a rise in Dodd, because there are a lot of frustrated prisoners out there who simply can't get the case called. And I begin to wonder if the Commissioner of Police will take in all the work going on, because it's always the police who cannot find or bring the files to the court. And these people, to be, even though they commit crime, David, they will get frustrated to see that each time they come down the court, they can't get the files. The police ain't got the files. They can't find the files.
The frequency with which magistrates have been talking about that problem suggests that it is major. It's a major issue.
So I said the Commissioner of Police need to pick up on, David. I thank you.
Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. 4341790. Hello.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes. Hi.
Sir, how are you, sir?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. Before I get to my main point, you're just talking about the problem with poison courts and so on and backup. You seem to have that problem right across the Caribbean. Trinidad, Jamaica has it. Some MP suggested the other that cases that are over 10 years old should be abandoned, but it didn't pass. It didn't pass the assembly, so of course they had to ban it. But what I'm saying is that earlier this year, the United States with its powerful and its competent judicial system put to rest two criminals who had committed crimes back in the 90s. The 98, I think, was one, and the other one was probably early 2000 or something like that. So they also have a problem because more and more people are flooding the justice system. Now you have the drug situation. That has almost doubled the crime population and the court population in the last 10 or 15 years. So
that's in the United States. And what about here in Barbados?
But it's even worse here, Mr. Ellis. It's even worse here. You know how many drug cases we have here? What I would like them to do is probably to eliminate the case of simple possession, you know, from a magistrate's court, you know, and I think that would lighten things a little bit, but that's just my view. The other thing you want to look at, Mr.
Barbados' problem, it is shootings, murder, rape, and serious assaults on persons. These are the ones that stand out, that scare people. These shootings in parts of the country have the potential to scare Barbadians and frighten visitors to our country, and to inflict a high degree of fear on the community.
Mr. Ellis, I am going to agree with you. I think I heard the Attorney General, you know, Attorney General, suggesting that they're going to prioritize some of these more serious cases and fast track them beyond those that are of a more simple nature. I think it's a very good idea. But you probably can't put a time limit on these cases because you don't know how long they're going to last. But you wish them luck. Anyway, Mr. Ellis, what is the position with bicycles in Barbados? Before the election, the helmets were the order of the day. Bicycles still have the car licenses and bell and light and that kind of thing like they did before, or this is now passé because I haven't heard the police say anything about it.
But they can't even control bicycles going through red lights.
But
are you talking about licenses?
But bicycles are used to commit crime in Barbados. I have seen it myself.
I tell you, they cannot even stop bicycles going through red lights in Barbados.
Mr. Ellis, I want not.
That is obvious. That is in your face, and it happens on a regular basis.
I know, but what I'm asking you, sir, is whether
lawlessness. This place, you know, you sit down sometimes and you come to the conclusion, because when you travel, you see civilized societies behave in a certain way. It is not all of what you see done in certain parts of the United States. There are other parts of the United States alone that can show you a better face than that. However, when you come back to Barbados and you see that kind of behavior, you know where it's taking us, you know.
Well, Mr. Ellis, what I'm asking you is, do we still have a requirement for Barbados to have licenses in Barbados? That's what I'm asking you, because
I don't know. I really don't know. I remember it was in 2008 that people had to pay more for those licenses for bicycles.
I think the police have...
That was something that people kicked a fuss about in the first budget of the Democratic Labour Party. But, in many instances, those things are not really honoured. People just go along and do as they please.
But I think the police have got to take a stand on this, because I've seen policemen, people on bicycles snatching people's purse and riding off with it.
You've seen that?
Yes, I've seen that. I was coming up Rockney one night, and there was a couple going toward, got the going toward chauffeur. A fella came from the side road in a bicycle. Bicycle is naked as anything. How you even have fenders. And he rode alongside his being snatched the bag and rode off in a hurry. Another fellow who was behind me saw him too, and he reversed to say he could track him. He went through a little road, he dropped the bicycle and jumped over a wall. Now, the bicycle had nothing on it. That's why he asked if licenses are no longer important, because I had my wing mirror broken by a man on a bicycle.
But he might have stolen the bicycle too.
But that's true. But the police have got to decide whether licenses are in or whether they're out.
You must have heard me say a long time ago that when you talk to the older policemen, they often tell you that they solved a lot of major crimes by cracking down on minor crime.
Exactly. That is so true, and especially crime with traffic.
But you can traffic offenses and stuff like
traffic
that.
Traffic offenses, it deters people from getting into heavier crime. But Mr. Ellis, the thing I want to talk to you about...
Is our police force fully equipped now to do things like that, given the manpower issues, the shortage of men? They get more women turning up to enter the force than men, and, you know, there are differences in the way that things are done today. How many people report sick on a daily basis in the very police force that we are depending on? These are real issues that we have to face.
But Mr. Ellis, how many of the fellas that
say they want to enter the police force, and when they do the test for drugs, they fail?
Yeah, but we also have here a Barbados Defense Force that some people are wondering exactly what part that plays in our security, because it has been argued that sections of the Defense Force could be trained in civilian security to assist the police. And it used to happen before. Yeah, you remember under the late Tom Adams, I used to see policemen and Defense Force soldiers patrolling in the country looking for kids.
I think it still happens, though. It has happened. It's continued to happen, especially in the tourist areas.
Yeah, because
they have to... You in these circumstances, the soldiers must have a policeman accompanying them.
Yeah.
And they take the instructions from the police officer.
You don't see enough of it, though. There used to be patrols, night patrols and so on through the area. You don't see much of it now. But that was a very important public relations thing by the police there. You have the police
The only reason you don't see those night patrols is because you are not out at night as regularly as you used to.
Well, no, the police, when I saw the police car used to have the lights on. So when you see the different lights, you know that the police car passing there, and it has the Defense Force truck behind it. So that was a warning that the police is really watching the city and so on. Now, Mr. Ellis, this thing about these bed bugs and so on. The first encounter I had with these was not in Barbados, was in Ontario. I was living in a high-rise apartment and with a community laundry where people were going to do their own laundry. And they had an outbreak of these things. They have bed bugs, lice, chinks, and a very variety of them. They're all the sucking insects. And to make a long story short, it boiled down to the fact that whenever you have people wearing their hair of a certain length, of thickness, where they can't comb it every day, that they become victims. They can become victims of these insects. And what happened in that area was something that was of great interest to me and people from the Caribbean. Because when they're found, when people start putting these things, the pillows and the blankets and so on and so forth and the sheets, and they can understand why they were there, they had to call in the Department of Health. The Department of Health came in and brought in a special unit from the Army, of all places, a special unit from the Army came in. And what they did was, they brought the instruments and so on, and eventually every person who was in that department had to submit to have their head checked. Your head, because some of you get itching in your head, you get itching in your armpit, you get itching on your groin, and you might think it's just normal, but I would say this to anybody who you find itching and scratching, to have it checked out, because these things are very small. You can only see some of them on the microscope. Crab lice, first one I saw was in Ontario. And the female laid very, very, very many eggs. And sometimes you see like a piece of dandruff. And you think it's dandruff. When you look at it, it's a bag of eggs. And they laid many. And they itch you because they like to be near the moisture and near the root of the hair where they can get blood. And all I'm going to say, I was surprised at the rather casual nature of the conversation coming from the senior medical officer. That ain't nothing to worry about, because it can be something to worry about. And all I say to Barbadians, if you find you have unusual itching in your head, in your armpits, or in your groin, go to your dermatologist and have them check it out, because they have special instruments they can look and see if the insects infest in that area, because if you don't move them.
And don't spray them.
But no, it shouldn't spray them, because you don't know exactly what they are. You can spray a bed or something like that with kerosene, and that may get rid of them. But I don't want to suggest to spray kerosene in your.
I'm reading a piece here out of the Express in the UK, the Express newspaper, and it makes the observation here that bed bugs can be painless.
Of course,
but they may leave you itching for days.
That's right.
They looked at some of the most common signs that you've been bitten by a bed bug. They say that they live in cracks and crevices in the bedroom and crawl out at night to feed on blood. They aren't necessarily dangerous, but some people may have a reaction to their bites, which leaves them itching for a number of days. When they aren't feeding, bed bugs have a variety of hiding places. They're usually spotted around the bed, near the piping or seams of the mattress, or even in the cracks on the bed frame. They could be hiding in other areas around the room and not just around the bed. And so you're supposed to check for bed bugs in the seams of chairs or sofas, between cushions, or in the folds of curtains. And this is what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency warns.
Yeah, pillows and blankets are favorite areas where they hide too. But all I'm saying is that you can treat them in those areas, but the area that you have to be very careful is when they start attacking the human person, because if it attacks a young child, it can create some kind of fever. I'm not a doctor, so I can't say. It can also create skin disease. They got something called psoriasis and something called...
Well, I didn't hear... I thought that the doctor explicitly said that they don't create disease. So you're now coming with a different slant on this. And I'm seeing nothing here to suggest that they create disease. What I've seen says that some people may have a difficulty that could cause itching for long periods, but not causing disease.
Ms. Ellis, I'm not here to give medical advice. I'm just telling you exactly what I have read, because they did some research on these things.
But there's nothing that I've heard or seen to suggest
that.
I'm saying, Mr. Ellis, you
would know from common sense that if you have an ear that's itching, you keep scratching all the time, you know eventually your skin is going to be irritated. You might get a bump or a lump or something like that, and it can lead to other things. So all I'm saying to people,
that would be caused by the scratching.
Once you experience these things, go to your dermatologist and let him check you out. You might have to cut your hair or get yourself...
No, I'm not sending a person to the normal doctor. We go to dermatologist. Just to see a dermatologist costs how much? The first visit, huh? And you're supposed to be referred to a dermatologist by a GP.
You can go to a polyclinic and ask the...
But precisely, rather than go to a dermatologist. All right? Thank you very much. I really don't want this to turn into the bed bug edition of Down to Brass Tacks, but I will share this with you. Out of Gary, Indiana, in the United States, a man who showed up at a Gary City Council meeting infested with bed bugs prompted officials to remove two rows of seating from the building. The mayor said that the parasitic insects were discovered in the council's chambers during Tuesday night's meeting after a man in the audience was found to be covered in them. The fire and police personnel promptly ordered people sitting in two pews to relocate before the seating was moved to a hallway covered in plastic and removed from the building. Now, they say at the end of this one that bed bugs can move through a person's clothing, luggage, backpacks, upholstery, and furniture. So the real message out of all of this is that given the kind of information that has been coming forward on the spread of the bed bug issue here, that we need to be vigilant, we need to be more careful. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, Miss Ellis.
Yes, how are you?
I'm sorry, not too bad, sir. But I'm sorry that you say that you don't want to talk about the bed bugs.
I said I don't want it to become the bed bug edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
I have something to say about it.
Yes.
Now, I come along as a boy, used to talk about chinks, not bed bugs.
That's what we talked about already. We said that.
But I'm sure that there ain't going no more chinks in Barbados. What we have in Barbados is something called Johnny Possels. In other words, some people call it German roaches.
So you think that Barbadians don't know the difference between German roaches and chinks?
I think because the German roaches is a small little thing. Yes.
Man, give the people a little bit of intelligence, man.
Yeah, but they never seen it. Was that in the custom?
No, look. Let's not go there.
Mr. Ellis.
I do not accept your notion that people are not going to know the difference between bed bugs and Johnny Possums.
Can I get a chance to explain myself,
German
sir?
Roaches.
Hello?
I'm listening to you.
I work on ships, and they're mostly on ships. Those were roaches.
You're going to pursue this for true?
Wait, you think I'm going to talk politics? You only take a talk.
No. I'm just telling you that there are a lot of people in this country who have to know, who would know the difference between the two.
Well, let me explain something, Mr. Ellis.
So I don't. If we accept that people will know the difference between the two, don't pursue that anymore.
How many people over here going to work and see a roach on something on the shirt and they brush it off and it turn into blood? Because after they hit one of them, it bursts. And I have never heard of nobody going to work a morning with a white shirt on and see a bug on it and try to lick it off and see blood.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
A very good morning to you, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
I ain't not too bad, thanks.
Yes.
This is the first way that you get me to laugh.
What are you laughing at?
The caller there just now, because the way you're trying to explain and not to care any further, it's still going on. That is a vast difference between a bed bug and what we call a cherry possum. Vast difference. Anyhow, I'm not authority on anything. But when we talk on the bed bug, I decided to call that explain to the individuals, the people, that you say that it's had to do with cleanliness in the homes and whatnot.
No, I'm saying that in some instances, the situation could certainly get out of hand if you are not going to pay more attention to how you keep your place.
Exactly. Now, my finding is that the bed bug, it doesn't just get in the bed just right, it starts on some point. And most of the times, insects find a safe haven to live. Bed bugs mostly live in the what we call the cellar of houses after getting there. Now, most of the times, that's why you see when you're allowing people into your homes, you should be very careful. Take off your shoes. Don't sit down in the chair just so it. You know, you can imagine that you just get off that van or bus or something and walk straight in the house and sit down in the bed. You have just brought that bug right into your home. Then it should be a situation of inspecting your clothes. But most people don't do that. Just they're going to throw it there.
Going at your rate, you would stop friends from coming into the house altogether, keep them in the yard.
I do hear you.
It sounds as though you'll keep your friends in the yard.
No, would not.
Or make them
that.
Pull off the clothes before they come in your house.
No, no. I am just explaining to you that in most cases, that's how you get the bed bug coming into the house.
Okay. All right.
Now listen to me. Hello.
All right. I know all of a sudden and got all these experts on bed bugs today. Wow. Them to brass tacks.
No.
Turn that radio down, please. The experts on bed bugs. I thought that the information, I mean, it's basic information that has been shared, and all we are asking people to do is just recognize that clearly from what we are hearing from people who've called the program today, that there's a marked difference in what people are seeing in the community now from what happened years ago, and that you need to be far more vigilant. Basic information, that's what it is. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Turn your radio off. Turn your radio down. It's been there keeping a lot of noise for quite a while. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, morning.
There is a consistent thing among Labour parties in Barbados, and that is that they don't see the need for investing in Barbadians' ability to produce anything. As far as they're concerned, we're just put here to be consumers and people who are prepared to serve the rest of the world and the interests that they may have. But when it comes to product-oriented, whether you're manufacturing or farming, whatever it takes to produce a tangible, you're put at the back of the pack. You're even considered when it comes to determining broad policy items. Now, you know, the truth is, if it is that we're supposed to move forward and come out of this, whatever it is that we have found ourselves in, we have to come out in a way that will give a better footing moving, you know, for those who will come afterwards. And it doesn't matter that you're having all of these various ways of managing a situation so at least you can contain a bad thing or make it less bad or perhaps make it improve on it. If the infrastructure that you're trying to defend or you're trying to boast about is not correctly designed, you will still be wrong. You will still be wrong. We are speaking about sending home people from the public service with the full knowledge that most of the businesses in Barbados, over 95% of them, rely on those people as consumers. Because you put money in the pocket and you expect them to go and spend somewhere else. But when you send them home, they refuse. They're no longer consumers. So if you're going to stay in this circle of okay, let's have a consumers be in the engine of growth and this kind of thing as opposed to producers, at least the best you can do is to defend those consumers and make sure that they are in no way disadvantaged. This concept of sending home public servants, I think, is disgusting. Okay, accepted. Producers are of no value. Forget about them. Let's deal with the people who provide services and people who need to have consumers come through their door. Sending home anybody that comes to the public and say they can send home public servants are people who are just being disingenuous. Because they're going to affect everybody else out there who rely on these people to come and shop or to come and buy or to come and patronize in some way.
But don't you have to make contact with why they believe it is necessary to send them home in the first place?
There are, if you're going to engage a question as to what is required or what is not in Barbados, there are a lot of different disciplines that could well shut down and stop moving.
Well, but let's deal with the public service. Let's deal with the public service expenditure versus revenue issues. Because that's at the core of this, isn't it?
It is. Of course, it's at the core. So we're not talking about cost of government. You're not talking so much about numbers of employees. You're talking about cost of government. Now, you would deal with costs. You have to deal with costs across the board. There's so many areas where government spends that have not even been considered. But if they were being genuine in their particular considerations, they would have at least, you know, considered those things first before they would go after the damn people's
jobs. But you wouldn't... Aren't we in a position to watch trends over the years as to how the wages bill has increased because of the number of people that have been employed? So if you're looking at it, you must consider that is one of the components that has to be considered. It's not the only one, but it is one of the components.
It could well be one, but I'm saying it should be the last one that should be considered. It should be the last one because the more people that government employs, to be honest with you, the more consumers we have to, you know, is it? This is the society that we live in.
Let me ask you, when you say the public service, because, you know, you got this distinction between the people who work for central government and the people who work in statutory corporations.
Same thing.
All right, so if you have a statutory corporation, let's take National Housing Corporation, that is facing and has been facing financial difficulties for quite some time, cannot really make its way in the world today. How would you deal with that?
How many government services are there out there that cannot stand on their own? Government has a responsibility to provide certain services that will operate without making a profit.
So if you...
That's the responsibility that they hold.
No. So if you have a statutory corporation that... Let me put it another way. National Housing Corporation used to be involved. It was set up to rent houses. We have reached a stage now where it is even trying to sell off the houses that it used to rent. It is no longer building houses for rent. So there is a big question mark as to whether it is meeting the objective that it was established to carry out. Do we still need it? Will you keep it irrespective of, because of the argument that you have just presented?
There are three operations or four that, you know, will require that kind of consideration. Whether it's necessary to have an NHC alongside of a housing ministry, or an IDC alongside of the economic ministry, or the cultural NCF that operates outside of the cultural ministry. You know, yes, there could be savings made when you bring those groups together, and okay, we only need perhaps one business development officer. You only need one person in charge.
What would you do with the people who work there?
I would reallocate them. That's the truth. I would reallocate them. But that's another issue. I mean, you've got to think a little bit more as to where you're going to place them, because the idea is that you're not going to send anyone home. At the end of the day, that should be the ultimate responsibility. Do not send anyone home.
Even if governments have, over the years, taken on more people than they needed to for sheer political reasons.
Of course. I know. You accept that as being an error. You say it's not going to happen anymore. You stop with that. This is the end of it. This is the end of the line. It will never happen again. But we have a responsibility to those
fine.
People who
but
are
you are
into
in,
that trap.
But fine. But you are also in an IMF program.
Yes, but and you see the problem with that IMF program
hold
is
on,
that you
no,
don't
no,
know
no,
what else has been
hold
promised.
No, no, no. In that, program, you have made certain commitments, and the IMF is going to be looking over your shoulder to ensure that those commitments are met.
The IMF is concerned with dollars and cents. They're not particularly concerned with numbers employed. They're saying if you can bring your
cost numbers
down,
but numbers employed ultimately
translate
into, you know, numbers employed and dollars and cents.
I honestly believe that any public servant above the level of teacher or police or, you know, that, at that level, or nurse, you know, any public servant above there should be prepared to take a haircut. And a serious haircut as well, too. Whatever it takes to save Barbados in the next 2 or 3 years, that is what you call... You
take see, the haircut where? In the salary?
In the salary. And if it is that you will have difficulties with a first mortgage, as far as I'm concerned, provisions can be set up to make sure that those difficulties can be in some way alleviated, you know, for those specific instances. Because, you know, and if you have a situation where you have kids overseas and that require certain types of... that you've got those kinds of indebtedness that you've gotten yourself involved with, if that haircut will affect you to the point where, you know, those particular arrangements would be somehow hampered, well, then there will be some kind of facility to make sure that those individuals don't suffer more than they have to. But yes, there's a haircut. Because once you get involved, when I left school and you wanted to join the public service, it was always with the sense that you would be guaranteed perhaps longevity. You could have tenure, but your salary would never be in any way connected to the private sector. You were not in the public service to make a big salary. You were there out of a sense of service and a security of, you know, of your income. That was what it has always been, to my mind, at least certainly when I first left school. But somehow, we're along the line, that has changed, where public servants believe that they have the right now to be as rich as anybody else because they're taking on responsibilities that can compare with the private sector and stuff. And I'm thinking from that time on, which is about maybe 25 years ago, that was erroneous. That was wrong. That was completely wrong. So it's probably time to get back to brass tacks, to the basics. You're a public servant. You are there to serve. And perhaps when things are down, you have to take a little piece. When things are up, well, then, of course, you can get a benefit. We have a constitutional majority now to make that happen. You can make that happen. All you got to do is go and talk to public servants and say, "Mama, I don't want to send one home. But you have to understand, we got a position right now. You're going to have to do something to help us all out. The alter, because the, tell you the truth, what I heard Mr. Maskell speaking about a couple of days ago did not in any way make me feel satisfied that they're doing enough to make the situation better. It means, of course, that the decisions that they came to with the IMF, was it last week, they did not present everything to you, the public. They got other things in there that they're holding back, one of which is a word that nobody really wants you to use. We can avoid all of that just by talking to the public servants and say, we can make this thing happen. We can make this in between you and me. But, you know, the other thing is, if it is now that the public servants turn around and say, well, you know, look, you got to do something too. Before you start cutting me, you got to start cutting costs. I see you there renting from private sector people. I'm paying $200,000 a month to rent private sector properties. Why you don't save there first and put the agencies inside of government-owned properties? Let me start saving there first. Why you don't cut back the size of the parliament or the cabinet to a more reasonable size? So you know that you're also interested in this particular movement. You got to do things like that so the public servant will think, well, okay, we're not being targeted here. We are part of an overall process. I was a public servant for 4 years. I would have taken the hit because I see my particular responsibility as a island-wide one. I don't mind taking the hit. I get paid back maybe in 4 or 5 years' time when the situation is good. That's what you do as a public servant. You got to ask, but there's not a single public servant alive who would want to see another public servant being sent home. I'm telling you, point blank, it's not going to happen. But if this administration believes that they can do that and walk away because of all the goodwill, I don't know. I think something has to be wrong with the public servant.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for your views.